knowledge. The information in this book that expresses the salt in life and our schools are different rationalizations for educating Christian children in pagan schools for the contemptible falsehoods they are. Any past parent or pastor who genuinely desires to be faithful in the Christian education of his children needs to find out what the public schools are actually doing. Need to find out exactly what the public schools are actually doing rather than relying on what they are saying they're doing or on memories of public schools that may have existed 10, 20, or 30 years ago. We'll stop the reading of the article there. I'll tell you what, Short has it right. And it's so encouraging to see a Southern Baptist, somebody in a movement that has largely become apostate, frankly, standing up for what is true. We know there are good Southern Baptists out there. We know that there are Founders Conference. You can find about those churches at founders.org, I believe it's called. The Southern Baptist churches, which are conservative, orthodox, old-fashioned, whatever you might want to say. Well, these folks are pulling their kids out of the public school. And here Short has come right out and said, it is a sin to send your kids to the public school. I couldn't agree more. There is no place in the Christian worldview for a public school institution generally, and especially one that is promoting the wickedness, evil, anti-liberty, pro-slavery, pro-homosexual, pro-other evil things in the public school that we have in our day and age. We've come up against a break here. We'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network. Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
And here we are back in the Tyranny Response Network, disinfecting the modern media this morning for you, and especially talking about the public school and the sin of sending kids to public school. As Dr. Short says from the Southern Baptist Church, the Tyranny Response Unit said at first was actually pushed off the air because of his comment, because of some politically correct, sensitive, liberal-leaning, neoconservative Christians that are so common in the airwaves today. In fact, if you can even get that much, you're probably doing well compared to the plethora of liberals masking and parading themselves as so-called conservatives that fill the airwaves and talk radio. You're not hearing that kind of talk here on the Tyranny Response Network. You're hearing truth. At any rate, we have here this story by from WorldNet Daily on the sin of sending kids to public school. I want to talk about that some more. I want to hear your questions and comments, however. You can call us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Between 7:30 and 8 a.m. or 7:30 and 9 a.m. every weekday morning, we're here live at Christian Worldview. If you want to contact us by email at any time besides those hours of Eastern Time, 7:30 to 9 in the morning, or even during the show, that's fine. You can send your questions to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We would encourage your comments and shows. The public school is always something that seems to raise the ire of people when we start discussing it, because it is so important to people to be able to have the public school. It's especially Christian people, and it's just bizarre to me why people would want to have their kids cast into this pit of tar that is the public school. This is a place that's dedicated to teaching your kids that Darwin is correct, the Bible is wrong. This is a place that's dedicated to teaching your kids that the Bill of Rights is not important. Remember the story we read last week that most kids surveyed, or at least an alarming number of children surveyed in the public school, do not believe the First Amendment is that important, and that people in America have too many rights. They need to give some of these things back over to the state. What kind of dangerous thing is this? We have the public school indoctrinating people that the Bill of Rights is now should be scrutinized and brought under question. This is a dangerous thing. I want to encourage all of you children out there who are listening to the program. We have a number of homeschoolers that listen to our show to be thankful and appreciative of your parents who are spending so much time to help you learn at home and avoid being indoctrinated with the follies and ways of this world. Sometimes there's a temptation for you Christian kids to say, or homeschooled kids in general to say, oh, I sure wish I could go be with some other friends at a public school or at a Christian school, and it would be better there. I might actually learn more or might have more fun. Don't kid yourself, guys. It's not that way. In a public school, you do not learn more. It's very clear from the test results that homeschoolers do far better academically than any other group. But what you should be more concerned about is the things that you don't learn. You don't need to see the evils of the world. You don't need to learn about drugs firsthand. You don't need to learn about promiscuity and ways you should not behave with other children of the opposite sex. There are things that occur at schools which are not wholesome for you, and it's to your benefit by far to be at home, both educationally, morally, and otherwise. So please, today, be thankful. Tell your parents how much you appreciate them for allowing you to be homeschooled, be at home, have so much less homework, and so much less commitment to the school day as other people do, and not have to be suffering under the indoctrination, peer pressure, and other things that occur in public schools, not to mention the danger of public schools as we found in recent years. So is it a sin to send your kids to the public school? Here at the Tyranny Response Network, we believe it is indeed a sin to do so. The public school is our greatest enemy. There is no greater enemy that we face in America than the public school. And although I despise the IRS and its abuses, the Federal Reserve System and their phony money scheme and their manipulation of the American economy, these are horrible evils in the United States. And there are other evils as well. It's not just those two. We could talk about the FDA, the FCC, or many other regulatory boards that have risen up. There are many things that are wrong with America. But I'm telling you, folks, the worst thing, your greatest foe, is the seemingly innocuous, seemingly benign public school, because that's the place where minds are warped. That's the place where people look to have the savior of society emerge from, that is especially the world and those who are not converted. It's that place in which people are taught the values which rule the next generation. And that's the place where you who are homeschooling are going to find your competition coming for jobs and for influence and power. They're going to have a different mindset than you. They're going to be indoctrinated with the ways of this world, and you're not if you're homeschooled. But they're coming up with a view of life which says essentially this: there is no God. Life is a matter of a chance process, a la Darwin and his evolutionary theory, and that however you turn out is fine, whether it be that you be a little boy who likes other little boys and you want to be a homosexual, that's okay, or whether or not you should protect your world through the environment. We're not against harming, or we're not in favor of harming the environment here at the Tyranny Response Network. What we're against is the vision of the world that says the world will collapse. Man can cause the end and destruction of the world, because we believe that all of history is ordained by God and that he directs it. And then indeed, the world will end at one day when Christ returns. The world will be over. There's no question about that. But it will not happen 1 minute, 1 second, 1 hour, 1 week before Jesus Christ wants it to. And the world and those in the public school do not believe that. They believe that by using certain kinds of chemicals, you can destroy your world. They believe the myths that we are running out of natural resources and that things are getting more expensive in our static world. And eventually we will have great massive famine and we will have destruction of the world because we cannot possibly support all the population and so forth. These are lies. These are myths of the left, and these are taught in public schools. Not only environmentalism, Darwinism, anti-God theories, but there are incorrect understandings of economics there. People who come out of public schools do not believe in free markets. They do not believe that free markets are good, I should say. They believe that government should have a role in directing the economy. They believe that government in some way can improve on the so-called market failures. These are falsehoods, friends. We do not believe these things because they are simply not true. Communism is a failure. Totalitarianism is a failure. Socialism in and of itself is a costly, wretched system that makes people poorer and worse off than if they were just living with the so-called snake oil salesman. We're not saying that markets bring perfection. This is a world which is full of sin, but there's no reason for us to believe, we have no evidence whatsoever to believe, that government will actually cause the world to be better or improve on what the market can do. The greatest enemy in the history of the world of human race has been government and the state, especially the state. The state has killed more people, destroyed more property by far than any other institution, and we need to get a hold of that. Public school kids don't do that. It's a sin to send your kids there because they don't understand these principles as well as the other things I've just mentioned, and not the least of which is an incorrect understanding of how important liberty is. They're willing to fling us back into slavery, these people. Oh, but Dr. Coben, there are some good teachers. My teacher used to pray with me 30 years ago. Oh, but there are some nice, well-meaning people there. What a bunch of malarkey. I'm sorry, folks. This is balderdash. This is wrong. You are being misled. You are trying to find some exception, some jewel in the mire, the dunghill of the public school. The thing is apostate. The thing is wicked. The thing is driving people away from the faith. It's driving people away from the truth about liberty, economics, and every other thing. We need to avoid it. We need to not work for it. We need to hope and pray that God will raise it from the earth. That means completely scrape it off like the worst form of pimple that you could see. It's not worth any more than that. We're coming up to a break here on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Yes, yes, we are here. We are here dispelling tyranny today on the Tyranny Response Network, specifically the tyranny of the public school, thanks to the article by Short on Christian WorldNet Daily. I also want to interject a couple of quick quotes from P.J. O'Rourke at the top of the hour. He says, "I guess the argument of contextuality is that anything is okay as long as it's done by people who are sufficiently unlike you." He says regarding Haiti, the island of Haiti, island nation, "Why would we have crime in Haiti?" said Dumar Sais, that's the person who was his tour guide. "We have the police and army to do that for us." And then, "Haitians weren't screwed up, but everything political, intellectual, and material around them is. In Japan, people drive on the left. In China, people drive on the right. In Vietnam, it doesn't matter." He's talking about some of the third world experiences he had in his book, All the Trouble in the World, The Lighter Side of Famine, Pestilence, Destruction, and Death. Our phone number here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We're very glad you've joined us this morning on the broadcast. We welcome your phone calls to us, especially if you are calling an Eastern time between 8:30 in the morning, or excuse me, 7:30 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning. You can also send your comments and questions by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We're very happy to have you listening to the show today, and we're hoping that we'll have more calls and emails, especially because we now have a webcast. If you go to policyofliberty.net, you'll be able to hear the webcast by clicking the link that says live on the air, and you'll be able to go ahead and hear it from your home or office computer. Well, we have a caller, our first caller of the day on the line this morning. Hello, and welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking to?
Good morning. This is Roy. I'm here in Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, welcome to the show, Roy. How can I help you today? What's your question or comment?
Well, thanks. I really appreciate hearing you discuss the public school system here this morning, Doctor. I feel like it's quite refreshing to have someone who was able to really speak to these matters. I grew up in a public school system until around 11th grade. I was actually in the New York City public school system for quite a bit there.
They've been in the news recently, but they're going for another, I think, $5 billion injection to fix the thing, supposedly fix the thing. It's already over $12,000 a year to educate people in New York City, and they aren't getting educated. So surprised that you were, but glad that you were. I assume that you were, at any rate, educated
yeah.
up there.
Well, there was a few things I noticed even in a public school in New York, back in the late 60s, early 70s. When I was there, I remember how they told us it was no longer history we were studying. We were studying social studies.
Hmm.
And it made a big point about that. It always caused me to think a bit what's going on. Then, of course, with math, we had the new math. That was a big deal. They were leaving the traditional method of teaching math and wanted to go to this new math stuff, which was a failure. A few years later, we found out they'd switched back because it was such a dismal failure.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of guinea pigs at that point. But
yeah.
I thought I'd bring up a bit here, when I was in Minnesota, we were out there before we went to New York, and the public school there was named Horace Mann, Horace Mann Elementary School. And I did a little reading later on about this guy, Horace Mann. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about this man, because I thought it was quite amazing. I always remembered his name, even in my junior high school and high school years, and I found that he was something of a communist.
Well, as far I have to admit, my field is public policy and economics, and I don't know as much detail about biographically and historically about some of these guys, like Dewey and Mann. But of course, these are the great founders of the public school idea, and their goal was essentially to exalt the socialist principle and use the school as a way to indoctrinate kids to become little statists, pro-government or pro-nationalists that would favor government policy, fight for the army, learn a few basic skills perhaps, including you know, from the very mundane things like procreation so that they continue to make more citizens to fill up the coffers of the state and taxes for the state, as well as to why we need to go ahead and fight for this government and join the army, and why it's wonderful to devote your life, pledge your allegiance to the state and the flag and so forth. This guy was a communist. He was a Darwinist. He was not a Christian. In fact, he hated Christianity, and he was opposed in every way to what we would hold dear, who love liberty, who love the Christian faith. So Horace Mann was right on the side there with both Marx and some of the other philosophers who were antithetical to the Christian tradition and antithetical to the free market and liberty traditions.
But it's quite remarkable, you know, that they seem to unabashedly just name their schools after these men, as if Americans don't even do their research. Somehow it seems as if they don't expect us to truly be educated.
Well, that's probably true, but I think they're being, I appreciate them being honest at some points, because the public schools, the public schools agenda has been very clear from the beginning. We read the other day on Christian Worldview the comments of J. Gresham Machen, who was the conservative Presbyterian who pulled the Orthodox Presbyterian Church out of the United Presbyterian Church in the mid-1920s when it went liberal. And here we had Mr. Machen just scathing. I think he was in a committee meeting discussing before the Senate the Department of Education, the proposed Department of Education in the 1930s. He said, this is wrong, it's wrong-headed, it's going to be immoral, it's not going to work. Christians should have nothing to do with the public school. A guy named Dabney, the Stonewall Jackson's biographer, another Presbyterian, in 1860 said the same thing. Christians should have nothing to do with this. All it's going to do is start out innocuous and seem like it's not so offensive to Christians, but eventually it's going to grow into the empire, which it now has, that is antithetical to the Christian faith at every point, not only in terms of its science, but in terms of its economics and in terms of its political philosophy towards liberty and alternative lifestyle, its moral character. In every way, it's opposed to our vision of the world who love liberty, who love the Christian faith. Roy, I really do appreciate the call. We're coming up to a break. Do you have a quick comment before we go to the break?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I'm a homeschooling dad now, and having taught in Christian schools and having been in Christian schools myself, I don't know what your take is on this. You might want to speak a bit to it more later, but I really have actually a conviction against even Christian schools. Someone had commented a good Christian school in the neighborhood, they would pay for our children to go there, and I basically had to say, no, I would prefer to really homeschool our own children. And I guess the Christian school movement itself, it seems, is in some ways based on the same program the public school is.
Well,
I appreciate your comments, Doctor, and I'll let you speak to that.
Okay, thanks for your call today, Roy. And I do.
Bye-bye.
And fundamentally, I don't have a moral issue with Christian schooling. I do think it's, Roy, you're quite right that they do follow the status line, and that is a problem. And I do have a problem with Christian schools that do that. I do also think that the education at Christian schools is less effective than public schools, more expensive, and there's really no point in using a Christian school for most people. But I do leave that up to the liberty of each individual. I don't think it's sinful and wrong in and of itself necessarily to send your kids to a Christian school. We've come up against a break here on Christian Worldview. This is the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
We'll be right back. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to the show. We're here on the Tyranny Response Network, providing roughage for your brain through the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. I've just been advised by my production staff that if you're listening to the recorded show, you've probably experienced the a glitch this morning. We apparently, in some of our computer recording equipment, had a failure, and unfortunately some of the early part of the show might not have been recorded for you. We apologize for that, and we're happy that you're still listening to this portion of the broadcast. The first half of the show and more was devoted to criticizing the public school, and we appreciate Roy's phone call and others who have been listening. Please do send your emails to questions@policyofliberty.net. questions@policyofliberty.net to participate in the show. You can also call us at the station and discuss it with us live at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We want to move on to a couple of other topics today as well. In the news today, we have a state, this is from Earthlink News, Baltimore, February 2nd, 2005, state laws cut teens' risky behavior. This is also coming through United Press International. A study finds that state policies on cigarettes, alcohol, and birth control can help U.S. teens avoid risky behavior. The team at Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health used a 1995 survey of teens in 20 states and cities and analyzed the results of factors like taxes, bans on cigarettes, vending machines, and the presence of family planning clinics, which are also known as abortuaries or abortion clinics, death camps, temporary death camps. We found that taxes on cigarettes and beer, tobacco vending machine restrictions, and more family planning clinics influenced the behavior of teenagers, said David Bouchai, the lead author of a study of an associate professor of the Bloomberg School. Bouchai cautioned that other factors like family influence were outside the scope of the study and may be as or more important than public policy. Well, duh. I mean, what do you mean maybe? I can't think of anything that influences kids more than their families. Well, apparently these academics haven't caught on to that yet. Well, this academic has. The Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben. Yes, I have been schooled for many years. I was in college, I think 9 all told, and somehow I came out understanding this. I'm sure there are more of you out there that have as well, but apparently some just missed it. This group found that raising taxes on alcohol reduces drinking by 1.9%. Folks, that is not a shocker. I'm telling you, these guys just don't understand economics. Restricting vending machines cuts teen smoking by 9%, and increasing the number of family planning clinics by 10% cuts the number of teens having unsafe sex by 1.3% without increasing the amount of sexual intercourse. The study was published in the February issue of Preventive Medicine. I don't know why having the abortion clinic would do that to you, unless they're saying that they're just doing counseling services. Now, if they have Christian counseling services, if Bethany is there or other people, we applaud them for doing that, trying to rescue those who are being drawn to the slaughter. And perhaps those people being nearby is also having a profound effect on changing and influencing people's minds. And we're very grateful for those organizations. We applaud you and your work. Keep it up. And if this is indicating that you're helping by 1.3%, well, that's a whole lot better than zero. We appreciate it, even though it's a small number, if that's indeed the case. Or if you're just fearful when you see the murder going on nearby at the abortuary, if that deters you from doing what's wrong, then by all means, we're grateful for that common grace in the world. We also have a very interesting article that I wanted to get to, changing the topics quite a bit, regarding a column in the Times Examiner submitted by W.H. Lamb called Christians in Government, To whom must we submit? To whom must we submit? And I want to get to this column. It's going to be a lengthy column to read, so I want to do it right when we come back from the next break. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The phone number at the station here is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Please do interact with us. Encourage the show by listening, supporting the show. Also, we're in very much in need of support, people who can help us with labor materials as well as donations. If you send us a comment to questions at policyofliberty.net, we'll be in contact with you on how you might get involved with supporting this great outreach. Again, we're coming up to a break here. We'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
We sure hope we've made your day a little bit brighter today as we talk about the important issues of the day. Remember, the purpose of the Tyranny Response Network, and especially this show, is to help Christians think better. The problem with Christians today in America is they don't think. We have Christians who are gullible. They're voting for people like George Bush, expecting that George Bush is going to somehow do them some good, promote the kingdom of God, or else stave off evil in America. Guess what, folks? Under George Bush, you got a bigger government. You got crazy wars waged by a lunatic in Iraq. You got phony wars like the drug war still being promulgated, and you have fewer liberties. I don't know what we're thinking here, folks, if we really believe that George Bush is helping Christians. Also, as far as I know, there are still 4,000 babies aborted every day, murdered every day under George Bush. How many people were killed in the Twin Towers? Not even as many as were killed in one single day in America under George Bush, who could stop it with a stroke of his pen. Folks, don't believe this guy is a Christian. Don't believe that he's your man. He is not helping promote the Christian church, and he's certainly not someone that Christians should be behind. Oh, but he's so much better than John Kerry. John Kerry would have been worth. I'm sorry, but I don't see it. Maybe John Kerry is more evil in his heart. I don't know. But the fact is, you're still talking about, on a scale of 1 to 10, Kerry being a 0 and George Bush being a 1. I mean, it's not that much better, folks, if it is better at all. I can't see how it is any better, except that at least he gives good lip service to some of the principles many of us hold dear. Well, getting back to this article by W.H. Lamb, who wrote in the Times Examiner a couple weeks ago, I believe it was the January 12th issue, Christians and Government, to whom must we submit? Well, it'll become apparent why I'm going to read this article in here. A man named Mr. Greg Ferrier, it says, who wrote a column or a book review of my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, gave this man the incentive to write this article, this guest column. My book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, can be found and purchased at my website, policyofliberty.net. If you go there, right at the top of the page, you'll see a little blinking link called Alertness Books. You scroll down there, and you can go ahead and order the book. We encourage you to do that. This magazine article, or this newspaper article, is coming out of the Times Examiner. We constantly promote the Times Examiner. We consider them our good friends. As a newspaper 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville is where you can pick up a copy. A subscription is only $20 a year for a weekly paper to be mailed to your home. I think $22 if you're out of state. You can reach them and discuss that and ask for a subscription at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576, and you'll be able to read my column every week in the Times Examiner, as well as some other tremendous columnists, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, Ben Graydon, occasionally Stephen Yates, and other folks. Please do so. Well, this article was submitted by W.H. Lamb, and here is what he has to say. Greg Ferrier's guest column in the Times Examiner for December 29, 2004 was very thought-provoking. In it, he reviews Dr. John Coben's book, The Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. I probably won't read Dr. Coben's book, and that is a mistake, Mr. Lamb, you should. But anyway, I probably won't read Dr. Coben's book, but of all of us who are regular readers of his column in the Times Examiner should be grateful that he takes the time to write it. He is a brilliant analyst, but usually keeps his work understandable for those of us who are more educationally challenged. I think he might be admitting that he went to the public school there. Not sure, though. Mr. Ferrier quotes questions raised by Dr. Coben. Should Christians resist government? Were the 13 colonies right when they rebelled against the King of England? How about the Confederates and the secession of the South? These are serious questions for which, in my opinion, there are no easy answers. For the past week, I have been reading much on the net regarding these questions, and there is much disagreement on these issues among biblical scholars, which I am not. Let's just tackle the question. Were our ancestors, both lineal and spiritual, right to rebel against the English king? After all, the minuscule tax proposed by Parliament without representation was nothing compared to the mountain of taxes we are forced to endure today with representation. Perhaps God gave us what we deserve for our rebellion, but that is another discussion. Many Christian scholars and church leaders, even in my denomination, think that it was wrong to rebel against King George. After all, wasn't there a biblical concept called the divine right of kings? Were not our ancestors commanded by Scripture, most especially Romans 13:1-7, to submit to governmental authorities no matter what? What about our Confederate ancestors who took their cue from the American Revolution? Should they have submitted eternally to the federal government? I believe that the greater question should be, should we ignore evil, and exactly to whom must we submit, both as Christians and citizens? What about this doctrine of non-resistance we hear preached from our pulpits? I believe that too many of us today ignore Acts 5:29, which states that we are to obey God's law when they conflict with men's laws. I also believe that most of the churches in America preach against the biblical principles which our founders believed, and that they would now, as many of them did, advise submission to the government since it was instituted by God. The doctrine of non-resistance says basically that everyone must submit to the governing authorities, Romans 13:1, even if they are evil. Well, that seems pretty clear, does it not? Not exactly, for Romans 13:1 did not always say that. My old non-PC mind finds no coincidence that these words in our modern Bible translation seem to favor this complete submission to the state concept, which I am not convinced was in the original author's intent. Authors capitalized there for God. The founders of our country relied on the King James Version of 611, or, as did our pilgrim forefathers, the Geneva Bible of 1560. When these forefathers read Romans 13:1 from these versions, which they recognized as God's word, they read, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." What are these higher powers? King George? Hitler? Tojo? Stalin or Lenin? Castro? Muslim clerics? Any governments that people live under? Did the author mean that it was a sin to resist these higher powers? I don't believe so. Perhaps we should try to determine just what higher power means. My research indicates that in the original Greek, the words higher power could be translated with different meanings, including the modern governing authorities wording. Just what was the author's instruction here? If every soul is subject to its higher power, this higher power, then it must not include any laws of men, because no laws of men are 100% enforceable even today, in spite of the wishes of United Nations, good word, to the contrary. My research indicates that higher in the original Greek is better translated as divine. The word powers in the original Greek would also be translated to mean laws. Did the author really mean let every soul be subject unto the divine laws? How quaint. Our Creator expected us to be subject to his laws. How politically incorrect. Why, the ACLU should take God to court and put him in his place. Oh, I forgot. They're already trying to do that. Well, admit, if you would, that only God's law can cover people who have lived, presently live, or will live in the future. If that is the case, and I believe it is, and the balance of Romans 13 does pertain to the relationships of the governing authorities and all citizens, including Christians, but always keeping in mind that we must resist and refuse to obey laws of men that conflict with our Creator's laws of justice and good order among His creation, and that includes us. And I'll stop the reading there. It's a very interesting article that he wrote in. Of course, he's commenting on my book, and I always appreciate that in my column that's in the Times Examiner. But I think there is a problem with this interpretation. It is a minor interpretation that Romans 13:1 does not refer to governing authorities. And the reason is in the context, I would have to admit that later on he's talking about taxes, the governing authority holding the sword, punishing those who do evil and rewarding those who do good. These sound like he's talking about the state. And it's not just Romans 13 we have to contend with. We also have to contend with 1 Peter chapter 2. And therefore, I would say that on the one hand, this is, I think, a mistaken point of view to look at this as non-government authorities. I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Lamb, Mr. W.H. Lamb, that we have an opportunity to resist far more than this non-resistance idea that you mentioned in here. We did, the divine right theory was wrong. The modern revitalized divine right theory is wrong, and that there are times in which we need to stand up and oppose the ways of the government, rebel against their laws, as I've advocated openly on the issue of something like the marriage license. Marriage licenses weren't ordained by God to be ordained to be handed out by the state. The state is not given that role in society, and it's wrong for us to partake with the marriage license if we're Christians. You need to rebel. You need to defy them. You need to do what's right in God's sight and forget about what others think about you or what the state's going to think about you. It's time to stand for principle and conviction, folks, and that's what we're trying to do and help you do here on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Just in case you're listening to the recorded broadcast or even live, and you might have heard a little bit of fan noise in the background, just to remind you, or just to let you know, there are a couple of homeschooling fans here in the studio with us today, and they're being entertained by the show live. We do have a special place in our heart that's held for anybody who's homeschooling. Of course, I am a homeschooler myself, and we have a significant personal sacrifice that we undertake, which we don't really consider much as a sacrifice. This is a duty to God to homeschool. And if you have the same convictions, you love liberty, you love homeschooling, you'd like to come and visit the Tyranny Response Network someday, send me an email to questions@policyofliberty.net, and we might be able to arrange for your teenage son or daughter to come to the Tyranny Response Network and watch how a show is produced. Remember, many days, our producer, many days here at the Tyranny Response Network, is a homeschooler who happens to be age 13, almost age 14, who's actually running the show for us. Just shows how good you homeschoolers can be out there. Let's just see how many public school kids could come in and produce a radio show on the side. And not only that, they'd be in school, wouldn't they? They'd be there in the lockers or locked up in the indoctrination camp. You homeschoolers can just bring your backpack, put your books in there, and do your school a little later. Doesn't matter if you're producing a show in the morning. You've got plenty of time. You're flexible, more like the way God would have it, I think. Well, we have a couple of other stories. We're not going to be able to obviously get to everything that's in the news today, but appreciated the last column by W.H. Lamb. If you have a comment or a question about that, you'd like to talk with us at the show, please do give us a call, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. You can also send us a question or comment by email, as I mentioned, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. I also want to remind folks that this is our first full day on the web. You can now listen to us on the web by simply going to policyofliberty.net's homepage and then clicking on the link that says live. You will then pop up your media player and you'll be able to listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and to the Tyranny Response Network, and especially to this show from anywhere in the United States or around the world. Then you'll be able to participate in the show by calling in or by going ahead and sending us your questions and comments by email. Promote the webcast, folks. Let people know the Tyranny Response Network is around and available, and help encourage those to listen, so we can spread the word, get a greater audience, and help hopefully promote the truth. We have a couple other stories. This one coming in from Pittsburgh, again, from Earthlink News. I appreciate someone sending me this story. And by the way, I have a number of people who send me stories. You don't know how much the Tyranny Response Unit truly appreciates that, because it cuts down on the amount of time that I have to do to scour around for interesting stories that relate to the Christian worldview. And here we have a Pennsylvania man sues trooper over finger ticket. And this happened recently to someone we know in the Carolina Patriots, I believe, in Georgia as well. So this must be becoming a little bit of an epidemic. I'm going to read and I'll make a comment about the Christian worldview regarding this. Pittsburgh, a man says a traffic ticket a state trooper gave him is for the birds, at least for flipping the bird. Stephen Corey, 42, filed a lawsuit because he says he had a First Amendment right to flip his middle finger at the trooper in July. Trooper Samuel Nassan, III, gave Corey, a flight attendant from Pittsburgh, a ticket for following another vehicle too closely, then wrote him up for giving an improper hand signal when passing my patrol car, namely the middle finger up, according to Corey's lawsuit. Corey's attorney, Joel Dresbel, denies Corey made the gesture, but he said it also doesn't matter because Nissan filed the ticket as though Corey committed a motor vehicle violation, that Corey made an illegal turn signal using his hand. Well, first of all, I would suggest to you folks that from a Christian worldview, you should not be making this gesture towards anyone. Okay, this is not a good thing for Christians to do. I understand Christians make mistakes, and that certainly can be the case. And if you do so, God is a very forgiving, loving God. Not to diminish any of those things and saying that you should not be doing it. But in America, why is it that our cops, many cops, believe that they have the totalitarian authority, literally, anytime they're offended, to violate your rights, to take away your money, to harass you? And this is exactly what it's come to, folks. When you get public educated kids that end up being cops, you end up having a twisted, perverted view of the world, any rate. People would have at any rate, but especially after the public school indoctrination, it's only worse. And here we have police officers who are giving tickets to people when they should instead be pulling them over and encouraging them, preaching to them, using moral persuasion perhaps for them to stop certain behaviors that are not illegal and really should be guaranteed by the American Constitution and are guaranteed by the American Constitution. It is a matter of his free speech to make any hand gesture he wants, whether or not the police like it. As a Christian, again, I say you should not be participating in such things, but nevertheless, if we're going to uphold liberty in our land, we have to say that this man has this right to do that without having cops harass him. In other stories, we have more things coming up about Social Security this morning. The Greenville News, as well as many other newspapers, are talking about, so it says here, Social Security talk held to account. What is the Christian view of Social Security? Well, folks, the Christian view of Social Security and the liberty view of Social Security is quite simple, although it's not followed either by those who love liberty frequently or by Christians. That Social Security is no different than any other welfare program, that there are people who work who are robbed and extorted, and then the funds are transferred to the federal government, who takes a small commission for operating expenses or whatever else, and then transfers the difference to those who are not working. That's how welfare works, folks. And Social Security is a welfare program. There is no trust fund that's real. There's a bogus IOU in something called the trust fund. There's no cash in it. It's immediately evacuated out of the so-called trust fund and put it into the general budget of the United States Congress, and they spend it. Especially when we have a deficit spending, folks, there is no savings account even imaginable. If you're receiving a Social Security check, there's no different than receiving welfare, food stamps, student grants, and so forth. Well, there's Social Security talk here this morning in the Greenville News, and we want to discuss it here, especially because George Bush has some proposals, and they're talking in the Greenville News about other countries who have privatized successfully. And having lived in Chile, where I participated in the so-called private Social Security, I think I have a few things to comment about that. We'll be back in a minute after a break, but I want you to know that our phone number, if you want to talk about Social Security or any of the other issues we've discussed today, you can reach us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Go to the webpage, policyofliberty.net. Get people to listen to the webcast that's there by clicking the button that says live. Send us your emails, comments, and questions to questions@policyofliberty.net, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And indeed, that is the case. If you're listening to this show and you have an aversion to deep thinking or critical analysis, you're really going to have some trouble today, because we've hit two biggies today, folks. Public schools and Social Security. What every preacher and Christian hold dear. Go ahead and you go to church and you'll hear that you should not drink wine in many places, or beer or any other alcoholic beverage. Or that maybe you shouldn't go to the movies, or that you should make sure that you use the correct version of the scriptures, which I prefer personally, the New King James or the Textus Receptus. Other people might not. But at any rate, you might hear comments about that, but they'll be happy to tell you that it's okay to take Social Security or welfare. Well, if not welfare, there's Social Security, even though it is welfare. Oh, it's okay to send your kids to the public school. Well, folks, this is not only hypocrisy. Well, I'm not going to say it's hypocrisy. It's ignorance. I don't think pastors who are preachers and talking about these things are necessarily informed. I don't think they're willfully knowing what kind of sinful behavior is generated by the public school or by stealing from other people through taking a Social Security check. I think they're giving into pressure perhaps to the congregation at times, but for the most part, they just don't know anything about economics. They don't know anything about public policy, and that does make it a little lighter. They're not maliciously opposing the Word of God, and I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying that. People just don't realize what's going on. If you don't, get a copy of, or if you know someone who doesn't, get a copy of my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. It's available through the website, policyofliberty.net. You can also get it at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble if they still have a stock, or Crosswalk and Crossway Christian Books in Greenville and many other locales around America. That is what you need to help dispel the myth. I know many folks who are distributing those books to pastors and deacons to help them understand where they've been misled and have gone astray. We encourage you to do so. We're here to promote the truth. We're not here to put people down. We're here to simply say it like it is. Tell it like it is. If you have a question or comment and would like to dispute that with me, feel free to call 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Questions and comments can be emailed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Tell people that we're on the web worldwide. Email your family in Oklahoma, Ohio, Michigan, Washington State, or Idaho. Tell them to listen to the Tyranny Response Network and the link there on policyofliberty.net. Well, Social Security has a problem. There's almost everybody realizes from the mainstream media that if things continue as they are, where people are getting older and living longer, people have always been getting older, by the way, but they're living longer than they did before, and there are not as many people working percentage-wise to support them, that the welfare Ponzi scheme is going to have a problem. That's well known. One of my guests here in the audience, who happens to be a homeschooled boy, reminded me, well, Dr. Coben, don't forget that at a rate of about 1.5 million abortions per year, that's murdered people every year, this problem gets worse because every 20 years, that's about 30 million people that could be paying into the Ponzi scheme, be extorted and being forced to pay for the retirees, and the abortion policy has certainly not helped things out, has it? Good point. Well, that's not a good reason to necessarily we want to hold up and talk about in the fight for abortion, but certainly in terms of the hard and fast economics of it all, it doesn't hurt when you start to slaughter off 30 million people out of your labor force, especially when the labor force is only, 160 or 170 million people. That's a pretty good-sized percentage after 20 years or so. Well, at any rate, Social Security is an uncertain system. The problem, folks, with Social Security from a political point of view is, remember, all the money goes into the federal budget. It all goes in there. And if we were actually privatized, as Bush suggests, or the Cato Institute's idea of the 6.2% going in to a private account, that would effectively reduce the amount of money that the federal government could spend by 15%. That's a huge budget cut for the federal government, and they're not going to tolerate it. If we do get private accounts like other countries have, just watch out. They're going to raise your taxes somewhere else. Governments do not like to give up their power. Have you ever really seen, think about it, have you ever really seen a true restriction in government, a true rollback? Conservatives and libertarians have been fighting for it for years, but in general, all we can ever accomplish is a tax shift. The government still keeps all the loot that it takes, but it just loots something else. Instead of the income tax, it'll go to the sales tax, it'll go to the gasoline tax, or some other way, inflation of getting its money. And this is the reason why we probably will never have a pure transfer, a pure reduction in the size of government. The Greenville News article also shows here that there are 20 countries that have tried private accounts. And I don't know why they say it in that way, except that they're a liberal rag. Tried these private accounts. Well, they do use the private accounts. When I lived in Chile, and that's one of the ones they mention here, they've had private accounts for 20-some years, a little over 20 years, And guess what? People who make about a third at the most, maybe a quarter of what Americans make, are going to end up retiring with more money. Why? Because they're forced to save and put it in a mutual fund. And even though the mutual fund is regulated and what they can invest in and so forth, it's still their money. They get their own mutual fund statement, just like I had it when I was there. It shows how much money you've accumulated, and it grows at a market rate of return. Now, I'm not in favor of forcing people to save either. I think it's the only right policy from a Christian world point of view and a liberty point of view is just to eliminate the welfare program of Social Security. Just dust it off. That's not what you've been led to believe. And so I'm sorry if you're older. I realize that we'll have to pay the piper and give you, or older, continue that policy for a while. Maybe that's the only just way out of it transitionally. But the only right way is to just eliminate it. But if you're going to force people to save, then they're going to have more because the market rate of return is far greater than you're going to receive on the welfare transfer program that the government provides. And that's why people in Chile are going to do so much better. So they say they're trying it. Well, that's kind of strange that they would say it that way. They're fabulously successful at having their own private accounts. They work. People have more than they're going to have with the socialized program like we have in the United States. It also mentions in the article Sweden and Poland, Argentina and Bolivia, Britain, Singapore, and other places. Interestingly enough, they're all a little bit different. All of them have had more or less success as far as I can tell, and that only is logical because when you're comparing it to a welfarist program like Social Security, a Ponzi scheme, where the group that's working is funds are siphoned off of them and given to those who don't work, with no real investment, no real attempt at making a return for people, it's pretty easy to beat it, even in a low rate of return mutual fund account. Even if your mutual fund only gets, whole life returns of 3% over, 4% over the life of your investment, you're going to do way better, much better than the government program would ever return, if you want to call it a return. It's really not a return because it's not an investment. I'm telling you, it's a transfer from people who work to people who don't. Christians should have nothing to do with Social Security. I'm sorry if you're in the position you need to take Social Security. It's a painful thing to realize that you can't. You relied on something that's false all your life, and that you're by taking a check, you're actually robbing somebody else. It's immoral to do so. Don't let the platitudes rise up in your mind that you paid in, you deserved it, you were deceived by FDR, or you were deceived by Harry Truman, that they told you it was going to be a savings account. You believed that when you went in, and they changed the rules, and that wasn't fair. Well, after you get done with the pity party, folks, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. You can't rob people just because you've been deceived. There is no excuse for participating in a Social Security Ponzi scheme where innocent people are robbed in order to promote your retirement. It's better for you to bite the bullet, look at God's providence and say, I was deceived, I was misled, I was robbed, and now I need to go ahead, not take the check, and find some other way for God to provide for me. We're coming up against another quick break here. This is the Tyranny Response Network. We're so glad you've joined us this morning on the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Back in a minute.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Greg just sent us an email, says, just quickly here, he wanted to let me know that our right to choose our vitamin, mineral, and other supplements may end in June this year, 2005. After that, U.S. supplements will be defined and controlled by the World Trade Organization and World Health Organization, WHO. This comes out of WorldNet Daily, I believe, or the Freedom Watch. It comes out of the Freedom Watch network, and he's saying it's also called Codex Alimentarius, Food Code, and it's setting the supplement standards for all countries who, in the WTO Codex, will meet secretly in November 2004 and finalize Step 8, the final stage, to begin implementation in June 2005. So really restricting the use and availability of numerous vitamins, minerals, and other supplements. Well, I don't know the veracity of this exactly. I've got to see more evidence of that. I mentioned it only on the show here this morning because Greg was thoughtful enough to write in, because it's of interest to him, but also to say that we have no reason to want to trust the FDA or any other, that's the Food and Drug Administration, or any other regulatory body to oversee the quality and safety of our drugs. There's no evidence that we have that government control and government regulations makes products either safer or of higher quality. As a matter of fact, there's just as much evidence to show that their existence and the conservative nature of bureaucrats tends to keep drugs off the market that would have helped people longer and maybe even saved lives for a longer period of time. Of course, everybody's going to die at some point. We're talking about extending life here. And recently, we've had these problems with Celebrex and some of these other drugs now, showing that the FDA approval process maybe wasn't as good as it should have been. And so they've failed completely there. There's no reason, folks, to believe that government regulation actually helps consumers get safer or higher quality products. It's a myth that socialists promote that says that the market fails. The market fails, government has to be able to do better. It's this whole idea of Horace Mann, John Dewey, the Darwinists, the socialists out there that say that we live in an imperfect world, there is no God, and if we're going to change the world, we need to not only do things like protect our environment so we don't destroy it by our actions, but we can also use collective action through the state, through government agencies, to improve life. This is simply a rebuttable proposition. It's a falsehood. It's antithetical to the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview does not say that the world is perfect. It's full of sin. Markets do not bring perfection. But it also says that we have no confidence in anything in the arm of man, whether it be collective action or otherwise, to improve the world and in the quality of things that we use in our daily lives. Reject that stuff, folks. You've heard it right here on the Tyranny Response Network from Dr. John Coben on Christian Worldview. We have no reason to believe that government controls, government regulation makes our life any better. Don't fall into the trap of thinking it's the case. We have another email that came in over the weekend, and I was actually just forwarding an article to us for about the Gun Owners of America. We are pro-Second Amendment, by the way, here at the Tyranny Response Network. Gun Owners of America on the offense as a new Congress convenes. Citizen Self-Defense Act protects gun owners who save lives. Why do we have guns, folk? Why did the Second Amendment give us our guns? So we can hunt turkey, right? So we can go in our backyard and pop off a few chickens and squirrels that are nuisances, right? We actually know people that, we've heard of people that should go in the backyard with a shotgun and blow away chickens. I don't know why, but anyway, here we are at the Tyranny Response Network to tell you that the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, is there for your resistance, not passive resistance. We're not just brandishing our arms in the face of the congressmen who are violating your rights. We're talking about actually rising up in resistance against them if necessary and pulling the trigger and shooting them. That's a hard thing to believe, but that is what the founding fathers of this country envisioned when they thought of the Second Amendment. Sorry if that offends you. That is America. This is also America, what we're talking about. It's not the Dan Blather or the Foxy News Network. Those the views that you get there are liberal, contrived views that have nothing to do with the vision of the founding fathers. We're here to dispel those myths on the Tyranny Response Network, and we hope we're doing that for you today to help a little bit. Anyway, just quickly before, because we're running out of time on the show, they say, with the defeat of the semi-auto ban reauthorization last year and the election of several new pro-gun members of Congress, it's time for gun owners to go on the offense and demand legislation that advances gun rights nationwide. One perfect example is House Resolution 47, the Citizen Self-Defense Act of 2005, introduced by Representative Roscoe Bartlett, from a Republican from Maryland. GOA helped author this important bill that would protect those who use guns in self-defense from overzealous or anti-gun prosecutors. So they're calling you, all of us, to get involved. And Gun Owners is a good organization, trying to see if we can't stem the tide of the liberal government and the overbearing totalitarianish leaning government to take away our guns, take away our rights to use guns in this land. We appreciate the effort. Thank you for sending in the email regarding the gun owners' actions. We're very happy that you've been able to join us today on Christian Worldview. Remember, we're listener-supported. We need people to help at the station, be as volunteers, or help with projects we have to improve our service. Today, for instance, is the first day we've actually been webcasting live. You can now hear the Tyranny Response Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and our show Monday through Friday, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, live 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, because we have a webcast, because some volunteers spent hours putting that up for us. We also are encouraging, because there are expenses such as the webcast cost, small support from anyone who can who's willing and able to support the show. Even if you just pop a couple $1 bills in an envelope and send them off to us every month, believe me, it adds up and it helps us cover our expenses. And we would encourage you to do so. If you'd like to be able to regularly support us, or at least occasionally support us in such a way, please send a comment to me or a question to question@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. One of us will send back the instructions on how you can support the show. If you are interested in being, got a load of gravel, you can help us with a driveway project we have, as well as if you've got a heating and air conditioning unit, or a deadbolt lock, or a paintbrush in your hand that you can paint stuff with. We need all that sort of support right now. We encourage you to get in touch with us. We can put you to good work, and you can help a great cause, the Tyranny Response Network. It's been great having you on the show this morning. We look forward to seeing you back again. Please tell all your friends about the Tyranny Response Network. For now, this is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview signing off and wishing you God's blessing on your day.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.